This podcast is brought to you by our sponsors at Everard's Tiger, ADT Taxes, Peter's Pizzeria, and loserpool.com. Welcome to the 100% LCFC podcast, the 30th episode. Woohoo! Seriously though, 30 episodes. Thank you everyone for listening on SoundCloud and on iTunes and subscribing. Right, special episode coming up. It's Liverpool Wednesday night and we've got a Liverpool representative. Well, not officially, but a guy repping Liverpool. His name's Owen and he's from the Cop On podcast. You can search for those on Twitter and follow them at Cop On Podcast and listen to them on anchor.fm/Cop On Podcast. Right, let's get Owen in.
Start talking about this game.
Okay, yes.
I'll talk about Leicester because I'm terrified about this game. I've you know, in fits and starts this season, Liverpool have been doing, on the whole, like utterly brilliantly, our best start ever to any league campaign in 126 years. It doesn't stop me being terrified, though. call it 29 years of disappointment, or if you like. But it's Leicester City. I'm absolutely terrible. But I was looking at your results. You beat Chelsea. You beat City before the turn of the new year, and both of those were obviously incredible results. And then in the last five matches, it's all been going to pot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Right, so I'll break it down for you. What's the problem is at Leicester City at the minute? First of all, for the last 3-4 years, we've been working on a system of a counter-attacking football, and that really revolves around Jamie Vardy. Now, Puels came in, he's tried changing it up a bit and slowed us down and became more of a possession-based team. And he sort of like tinkered quite a lot with lots of rotations going on and stuff. And I think what he's trying to do is make everybody in the team play the same game. Unfortunately, it's not working. We still rely on the counter-attack to beat teams because we haven't got the squad depth and I don't think we've got quite the quality to penetrate, you know, teams that hold deep, like your lower end of the table. And if you see the results, you'll see that's exactly, probably bang on, to be fair. We lost to Cardiff, like you said, Newport County in the FA Cup, for Christ's sakes. These teams all held back, you know, like part of the bus, and we can't break teams down like that. But when we play the big dogs, like the top six, they're attacking sides. So we can break out on a counter-attack that we're used to playing, and that's what we do. So that's why we seem to pull in results out against the big sides, but losing to the small sides.
So, I mean, these results, I mean, you lost 1-0 at home to Cardiff. You beat Everton away, but that's not hard, is it? then, yes, you lost to Newport away. You lost at home to Southampton. And then the last match was an incredible match. I saw it. You were so unlucky. I felt so sorry for Leicester.
Yeah.
Because you lost 4-3 to Wolves. If the listeners to Cop One don't know what happened in that match.
Well, put it this way. I thought Wes Morgan had just become the hero because everyone's been saying he's getting too old and too slow. And then he comes out and gets the equaliser 3-3 in like the 90th minute and becomes another cult hero again, so to speak. And only within 3 minutes, his slowness shows because he can't catch up with his man. And that, is it Jota, gets his hat trick in the 93rd and puts the game to bed.
Yeah, it was so I don't know. I felt happy for Wolves, but so disappointed for Leicester. I didn't think you deserved to lose that match. You put on such a good show. It was end-to-end stuff. And it was such an open game of football. It was a great game.
It was.
But yeah, is pressure mounting on Claude Puel now because he's trying to change things too much?
Yeah, I mean, the fans, I think what it is with Puel, I think he's got no personality whatsoever. He doesn't show any personality. He shows no character at all. And I think that reflects onto the fans. I think that sort of rubs off onto the fans for having no personality, no character. He's boring, let alone his style. So it brings a negativity. I mean, you only have to ask any. I've been on the Ugly Side Southampton podcast station. They said the same thing about Puel. You know, you'll only know how bad being in charge of a manager like Puel when he's actually managed your club. 8th, 10th, it looks good. Because it does. To be fair, Leicester City, we're not one of the big six, are we? So, but I do think we are top of the rest in terms of probably size, ambition, and overall, obviously, winning the Premier League puts us up there as well. I think 8th to about 11th is a perfect standings for our club. But for some reason, it's not. It's not acceptable. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of Puel or what. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the fans want him out so much. Because I'm quite happy. As long as we're in the top 10, I'm quite happy.
Well, that's a very reasonable answer for me. I mean, you're currently 9th on 31 points. You've got Wolves 1 point ahead of you and Watford 2 points ahead of you. And, 9th in the Premier League is good. But, I mean, is there a large percentage of the Leicester fans who are saying Puel out?
Yeah, we did a poll on Puel Out on 100% LCFC. You can follow us at 100LCFC on Twitter and on Facebook. And it got to something stupid like 88% Puel Out. It's crazy. The thing is, it went dropped down a little bit after we beat Man City and Chelsea. Obviously, it would. But when you lose to Cardiff afterwards, it's like those two results didn't matter. It's so weird. It really is. They just want him out. They just want him out. And I think he's going to go. I think during the summer, I think he's gone. I don't think, unfortunately, obviously, since I last spoke to you, Owen, obviously, we lost Mr. Vijay, our owner, in the tragedy in October.
Yes, absolutely horrible. And on behalf of Coppon and all Liverpool fans, I want to express how horrible and our deepest sympathies for that, because that was absolutely horrific tragedy.
Yeah, it was horrid. I mean, it affected the city as well, you know, because he's done so much for the city as well. Put so much into the hospitals, the children's ward, and just all sorts of stuff, you know. And yeah, it's a bad one. But going on that, I think that's probably the reason why Puel's kept his job as well. I think it's because... I think there'll be too much going on to be right now in January to get rid of the manager after such a tragedy. I think you just need to carry on, finish the season and start fresh.
I would agree with that as well. I mean, I think Claude Puel has dealt with the whole situation with a lot of dignity as well as the, you know, the fans, Leicester City fans, the city as a whole, the club. Everybody's just reacted with such dignity to that tragedy. And I don't know. I mean, I just find it surprising because, I mean, Claude Puel, obviously I live in France and I speak to professionals who work in football in France quite a lot, you know, be them journalists or whatever, but
he's highly respected, isn't he?
He's highly respected as a man who's very simple. You know, he doesn't get involved in any sort of skullduggery. No. He's very straight down the line. He loves his football. He loves his tactics. Loves organising a team. And you know, from the outside, Leicester being 9th is like, okay. I mean, you could do better, but it's a very, you know, it's a solid.
It's a good position to be in.
Position, yeah. I would say so.
Exactly. You know, we've got you guys, and then we've got Man United as well, and then we've got Palace as well. After we've got Tottenham after that, sorry, and then Palace. So we've got Liverpool, Man United, and Spurs.
Right. So I mean, that's 9 points, right?
That's nine points
with Puel's record. Yeah,
but I can see that happening. It's the Leicester way, you know. We'll win all those three, and then we'll lose to Palace and Brighton and Watford and Fulham. Yeah. They're all the next teams afterwards. You know, they're the teams we can't beat. We can beat the big boys. We can't beat the same sort of caliber size or a little bit lower than us. We can't beat. It's weird. That's just It's just the Leicester way.
That is the Leicester way. A player I'd like to talk to you about is Pereira. Now, when we played on the... Yeah, I thought you might be excited to talk about him. Because when we played you on the 1st of September, I have to say, I didn't really know who he was. Forgive me, sorry. No. But, you know, obviously I'd seen him once or twice, but didn't really pay much attention. He was playing right back that day when Liverpool won 2-1 on the 1st of September. But since then, I mean, he's changed position, hasn't he? I mean, he's sort of playing more attacking.
He's... He's got three positions he can play, actually. His main position is a right back, but he can play as a right winger, more like a role of a wing back type player. And he can actually play left back. He played left back for Porto a few times as well. But when we signed him, I made a few friends over at Porto, because when we were in the Champions League and stuff, it was just awesome time for Leicester, because we've never been in the Champions League before. So I made quite a few friends through different clubs. So I've got quite a few contacts from different places like Bruges and Porto and blah, blah, blah. And the guy messaged me saying, fantastic player you've just signed from us. One of our best. You know, and I was like, who is he? Yeah, I didn't even know who he was, you know. Oh, boy, do we all know who he is now. He's fantastic. He's right back, but he goes forward so well. He's dangerous going forward. He's got a cracking shot on him as well. Be scared.
Yeah, because he was playing so in the Wolves game. I mean, he looked to be playing as sort of one of your attacking three, three or four.
Yeah.
He just cuts in.
Be scared at corners. Because he sits on just on the edge, he sits, and if he sees anything coming, he'll pounce on it.
Yeah, wow, great. I mean, he's I'm already scared. I don't.
He's 25. I think he's going to grow into something. I don't think he'll be at Leicester long, to be honest. There's a few players that I keep saying that I don't think are going to be at Leicester for very long. James Maddison. I don't think he'll be for long because he's just a talent. He's obviously English talent, which is going to be always wanted. And Maguire, I don't think he'll be at Leicester for too long. It's a shame, and Ben Chilwell.
Yeah, I mean, you've got so much talent in your team, haven't you? Do you have any injuries for the next match?
I think a bit worried about Harry Maguire, actually, because if you watched the Wolves game, Harry Maguire looked a little slow and a little choppy at times, and he couldn't get up to I think it was the first goal, actually, that we conceded. He just couldn't get up and header it away like he normally does. His strength just seems to have gone, and I think he's definitely carrying something. He don't seem like he's been right since the World Cup to me, anyway, but he's still a solid defender. But going on to you guys, yes. Obviously, how are you feeling at the minute? Are you getting a little bit excited, or are you still a little bit worried you might slip up like last time? Sorry to bring it up. But
that's okay. No, it's okay. I mean, it's for Liverpool fans. It's hard to know from the outside. I mean, I've been following Liverpool since about 1988. 87-88 season was when I first started following them, and so I've sort of lived through all of the years of us not winning the league, and it's hard from the outside, you know. Now it's 29 years. It's hard from the outside to understand just how excited we are about this season, and how much every single game, every minute, every moment of every game means to us, that we're so desperate to win the league after such a long time. That yeah. Yes, every game we play is the biggest game in our history. You know, I mean, you can somehow, being a Leicester fan, I mean, you know, you can to a degree, you can totally understand, because you know you were there in the run-in to your fantastic Premier League triumph a couple of years back.
Yeah, which is still a dream to us, by the way. I don't think we quite believe it happened.
Well, that's it. And I think that's something with Liverpool. I mean, call us deluded, but we have sort of, at least you could say, spent enough money to be competitive over the last 29 years, but we have never won it. It's an incredible time. And I think our first team is capable of beating anyone. And I think our first team probably is the best in the league, but we don't have as big a squad as Man City, and a lot depends on injuries.
Yes, definitely. Like, unfortunately for Spurs, that they've just lost so many players recently that I don't think they're going to be in any chance of chasing the top two. I think it's definitely now down to Man City and Liverpool. It's going to be you or Man City. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I am really sad about that. I've never been a fan to celebrate other teams' injuries. I mean, Harry Kane, you can say what you like about Tottenham, or, you know, yeah, some people don't like him, but he's a fabulous player.
He is.
Dele Alli as well. Great talent. I mean, a little bit too narky or aggressive.
Yeah, but that's a generation today.
Well, perhaps. I just want everybody to stay fit and Liverpool to win it. But yes, Tottenham, it does look like they're out of the race for now.
Now, yeah, okay. Moving on to the last game that you had was against Palace, right, in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And they went 2-1 up at one point, didn't they?
I think there were so many goals, but yes,
yeah, it was another 4-3 because obviously Leicester and Wolves was 4-3. I think you guys were 4-3 as well. It was quite an exciting match to watch from a neutral perspective. Was there any injuries that we need to worry about that will help us out? Is there any red cards? Is there any?
Yeah, we got a suspension. Milner will be suspended.
Is he a player that you'll miss or?
Oh yes, because we're also missing Trent Alexander-Arnold and Joe Gomez. Trent, it's highly unlikely he will be fit for Wednesday because he was seen just the other day with a knee brace or whatever you call it on. So our top three right backs are all out. Obviously we sold Nathaniel Klein to Bournemouth, or is he out on loan? No, he's out on loan at Bournemouth. So we don't really have, to counter the threat of your left winger, it'd probably be Demarai Gray, won't it?
Demarai Gray, yeah.
Demarai, yeah, sorry, yeah, pronunciation. Demarai Gray. Demarai Gray. We at right back, we're struggling. We might move Fabinho out there.
We attack down that left most, I think.
Yes.
With James Maddison links up with Chilwell and Gray down that left side usually. So that is our main area that we attack from. So
exactly, and that's one of the things I'm worried about. I mean, Fabinho, if he plays there, he's right back for the Brazil national team. So it's not as if we've
that's an option.
But then we miss a lot in midfield. There's talk of a young kid who you might not know called Rafa Camacho, who's a 19-year-old who we signed from Barcelona's academy a couple of years back, and he's predominantly a right winger, but has been converted to right back because that's a way into the first team. He's got great talent, but he doesn't have the defensive or positional experience really to deal with your threat. So that's a big worry. So I imagine Klopp would probably put Fabinho there. And to answer your original question as well, it was Andros Townsend who put Palace 1-0 up, and then in the second half, we scored two quick goals with Salah and Firmino to go 2-1 up. And then all hell broke loose. And
yeah.
But yes, with Milner getting his red card in the 89th minute. So yes, we'll be depleted in numbers. Lovren is back, and you can make of that as whatever you want, if that's a good or bad thing. But there is good and bad Lovren.
The only players I'm worried about is Salah. And Firmino, they're the two players I'm worried about most.
Not Mane?
No. Those two that I mentioned first, definitely Salah. What's he got? 20 something? Is it 19 goals he's on? 20 goals, something like that.
In all competitions, I think it's 23 goals and assists. So it's 16 goals and 7 assists, I think. Right, well, that might just be in the Premier League, actually. I think that's just in the Premier League. Yeah, too many to count. It's like Mohamed Salah is up there with the best players ever played for Liverpool.
I agree. Really. It's 4. You know, it's 4 years to the day, actually, I think, that he signed for Chelsea.
Right.
Okay. And it's strange because obviously that didn't work out for him at Chelsea. I was looking at it thinking it's a bit similar situation to when Fernando Torres was at Liverpool. He was fantastic at Liverpool, went to Chelsea, it was bog standard, awful at times. And it seems like the role was reversed in a way with Salah. It wasn't great at Chelsea, it didn't work out for him. And at Liverpool, he's scary.
Yeah, I just think, he was very young when he was at Chelsea, about 21. He hadn't developed and he didn't really have a chance to develop. He was very much in and out of the team, a substitute for Chelsea. He never really had a good long run, which he had at Roma, which allowed him to develop. And then at Liverpool under Klopp, he's just getting better and better.
He really is.
His ambitions are sky high. He wants to be the best player in the world. He wants to win everything.
I think the reason why I mentioned Salah is because of the goal difference. If you look at the goal difference table between Liverpool and Leicester, you're sitting first with City ninth in the Premier League at the minute. We've scored 29 and conceded 29. We've got a zero goal difference. And if you go climbing up the ladder, you'll see that you've scored 54 goals and only conceded 13 all season with a 41 goal difference. 41 compared to our zero. I'm very worried.
Yeah, no, you should be. I mean, it's not as if... I mean, did you see... A lot of your listeners probably won't know about... maybe not have seen Liverpool against Napoli, where... we played two games against Napoli and they have Koulibaly, who's honestly a fantastic defender, one of the best, the very, very best in the world. He's absolutely monstrous back there. And he got the better of Salah 19 times out of 20 over both games. Oh. And the one time Salah beats him, because he never gives up, Salah, he scored a goal and he sat him down on his ass, and it was absolutely beautiful to see. And that's the thing with Salah, is that it doesn't matter how good the defenders are, there's just a certain moment where he just outfoxes people all the time.
Outfoxes.
Excuse me, yes, to mention the foxes. I'm interested in how you think you would line up. Do you think it would be a sort of 4-2-3-1 or something different from Pure?
You know what? Pure always seems to go out with a different thing every game at the minute. I think what I'd play against you guys, I'd go for the counter-attack and I'd play three central defenders.
Okay.
I'd play wing-backs, actually. And three CDMs in the middle. So I'd probably go with Maguire, if he's fit, mm-hmm. Morgan, or depends if Morgan or Johnny Evans, I'm not sure, and possibly Soyuncu. I don't know if you know who he is.
Oh, I don't know, no.
Okay, he's a signing that we made at the start of the season. He looks a little bit like, if you've ever watched Shrek.
I've seen the posters. Sorry.
It looks like Lord Farquaad from Shrek. So if your listeners are listening, Google Lord Farquaad from Shrek, and that's our Turkish international.
Well, okay, so I'll check it out after. But yeah, fantastic.
At Ben Chilwell, Ricardo Pereira, left and right as wing backs, Madison and probably Ndidi in the middle with probably Jamie Vardy up top. I don't know. I'm unsure.
Okay.
I really don't know. I can't predict it this time around. I'm usually quite good, but I don't know how he's going to go in. Because we lost 2-1 at home against you guys. And we played I think it was a 4-2-3-1.
It was, yeah.
Back then. Let me just get the squad up. Yeah, it was. It was a 4-2-3-1. Gazelle scored a goal in the 63rd. Mane got in the 10th. And Roberto Firmino got in the 45th. So we lost 2-1. You went 4-3-3. I don't know. Stats were ridiculous as well. Again, possession for you guys was ridiculous. 70, what was it, 50? It was 67% possession in the first half. At home. Leicester at home with less possession in the first half. We seem to play better in second half. This season, we have the best record in the second half in the Premier League.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. For
goal scoring, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Because, I mean, I can't tell you for Liverpool. We've just been good. We've just been really good in sort of both in all of it. But, we seem to get, you know, goals at good moments. And that, you know, Firmino goal in the first match was good right before half time. We are a dangerous team, but we do have injury concerns. So we're likely to line up in a 4-2-3-1 as well, I would think. With obviously Alisson in goal, Van Dijk, yeah. Lovren, Robertson, who we haven't mentioned, who's just been...
Yeah, he's just signed, isn't he?
I mean, well, I know Andy Robertson, he joined at the start of last season, actually. But
he's extended his contract or something, or is that...
Yes, sorry, yes.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. What about your goalkeeper, Alisson? He's top of the clean sheet table at the minute.
He's top of the save percentage table as well. He's top in tons of stats. He's
fantastic. He's
I mean, he's really convinced me. It's something that's new for me is that I think a goalkeeper is as important as a top striker. Because the difference he's made psychologically as well to our defenders, they trust him. They're not shaky like they were when we had Mignolet or Karius in goal. You could tell he's got this confidence that he projects. I mean, he made that mistake, which was Gezal's goal against you when he tried a Croy flick. But since then, he's been a lot calmer, a lot more sensible with his distribution. His distribution's great. His reactions are great. He dominates his box. He's, you know, he looks, you know, it's like trying to score a goal against, a sumo wrestler and bear. I mean, he's massive in the goal. Huge.
Now, was he in the same squad with Salah?
Yes, at Roma. Yeah, he was getting into the team with he was fighting for his chase for his place with if I could pronounce it, Szczesny. The Polish goalkeeper who now plays for Juventus. He's also brilliant. He used to play for Arsenal, but he's just, you know, he's worth every penny. I don't know. I think it's 65 million or something. And
56 million. It says here.
Okay, I was in euros, but okay.
Yeah, you're right, actually. It's 64.5 million euros, so... Yeah.
There you go. But, for you would go three at the back.
I'd go three at the back with wing-backs, with Pereira and Chilwell working as wing-backs.
Fantastic. Okay, I mean, that would be... it should be a great match. Anyway, where are you going to watch it?
I'm probably going to end up watching it at home. I just can't get away. I can't go away games. It's just impossible with what I've got on at home and family and work and stuff. I just can't do it. So don't go away anymore. But I'll be probably watching it live whilst I'm probably on 100% LCFC on Facebook. So I'll be doing like a live reaction video.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, yeah. Excellent. I mean, if I made videos... of my reaction, I don't know. I'm so excited about this season. I've been squealing at pitches, you know, such high pitches. It's like the top sopranos in the world would be jealous. No one wants to see that. I mean, it's kind of a mess.
Owen, what's your predictions? Come on, let's get to it. What's the predictions?
All right, then. I'm going to say Liverpool at Anfield. Leicester, exactly the kind of team we don't like playing. So I think a narrow victory, 2-1 to Liverpool, and it will shave another 5 years off my life. What about you? How are you feeling?
I was actually going to say the same thing. I was going to say Liverpool 2-1, just, I think. It's going to be a close game, I think, this time round.
It will be. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, though. It's been brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. Thank you for taking part in the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. And I hope your listeners can listen to Cop On, and my listeners will listen to 100% LCFC as well. And yes, you know, good luck. May the best team win.
Yes, good luck, Owen. And I'll speak to you on the next one.
Thanks, Lee.
Good luck. Thank you, Owen, for coming on the show. Make sure you follow them at Cop On Podcast on Twitter and give them a listen on anchor.fm/Cop On Podcast. Right, Wednesday night, it's coming. I will be on Facebook probably Wednesday night live with live reactions whilst I watch the game. If you want some alternative commentary, I'm going to try and give you some. I'm not obviously a professional, but I will try my goddamn best. It went down well with you guys on Facebook last time on 100% LCFC. So give me a chance and hopefully I can bring you an entertaining evening. I'll see you Wednesday night, guys. Make sure you follow us and subscribe to these platforms on iTunes and SoundCloud. And I shall see you on the next podcast after the game. Cheers, guys. See you soon.